disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we ought to build an ark. Somebody needs to build an ark. That's all I know. No, I'm talking about a real ark. It has rained. Like, we have flash flood warnings here where I live today. And maybe it's the Lord's sending us a message. Huh? Maybe it's time to build an ark. Hey, listen, I want to clarify something here real quickly. Folks, I just had this conversation with Michelle before I came down here into my multi-million-dollar a state-of-the-art studio. I said to her, I've never had greater peace. Never had any greater peace. So if you folks, I don't want in any way, shape, or form to be spreading fear. I'm not afraid. I'm telling you, I am not afraid. I'm not concerned at all. And I don't want to be contributing to the delinquency of a Christian by spreading fear porn. It's not. I try to talk to you about preparation and practical stuff because something's going on. Something's happening for sure. Is it the virus? Is it not the virus? And, you know, I was having a discussion a little bit here with Larry before we went on the air. I think the indications seem pretty clear that maybe the virus was here in Ohio as far back as early January. We had to close down our schools. And I think we're finding out that through a lot of different things that people are, dare I say this, maybe people are carriers of this thing. And maybe they have maybe they're carriers. And it's been around longer than we know. And it is real. It is deadly to some people. But as I constantly try to say, listen, I can't be more clear. I am in no fear of all for my health. None. If the virus comes, I get it. I'll fight it off the best I can. And if I come, I don't. I have no fear at all about it. My concern is everything else that's going on around it. And, you know, as I said yesterday, or tried to say yesterday, let's not be like the foolish virgins that don't keep our lamps trimmed. Food and water and supplies. And come on. I went out. Crazy me! I went out and filled all my gas tanks yesterday. All of our vehicles. I filled all those. I filled every gas can that I have. I filled them. Why? I don't know. It just seems like it'd be prudent to do that. If something would happen that I wouldn't be able, folks, something's going on around us, right? They have closed down Los Angeles. Just think about that a second. Think about that. They closed down Los Angeles. So something is going on, whether it's the virus, whether we're all going to die, whatever, something's going on. But we of all people, we Christians, we got to have hope. And it's hard to, you know, Shelley said to me the other day, and she's right. She says, oh, my goodness, everything is gloom and doom. And, you know, she's right. I'm sorry. She's right. It is. But see, sometimes the truth sounds like gloom and doom. When Polly got diagnosed with cancer, when Todd got diagnosed with cancer, hey, that ain't good news. But it's reality. Polly could have said, I don't have it. I really don't have it. I don't believe it. I don't receive it. I don't have it. You could say that. Todd could have said, I don't really have leukemia. I don't know. Or you look at it and say, wow, you know, this is real and this is serious. And yeah. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to change. Hey, come on now. I'm going to change what I eat. I'm going to change what I drink. I'm going to take vitamins, right? This is just preparation. So what we're seeing now is a preparation in a far greater circumstance in a way that we have never experienced before. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. I'm not afraid. And Michelle, my wife, God bless my little sweet wife. She says, you know, golly, don't talk about that so much. Because why? Because it brings distress to us. Brings distress. Now, I want to clarify something. That is Mark in here today? I don't know if I know Mark's busy, man. Been doing a lot of stuff. I want to clarify. Yeah, he's in here. Mark, I want to clarify something that was said yesterday, so people don't get on the. We were talking yesterday, folks, about waves, and you know how we talk about that all the time, and energy sources, and all that stuff. And Mark made a statement about Todd speaking. You know, I don't receive that. I'm not accept whatever it was. It doesn't even matter, folks. Listen, that was not a name it, claim it thing. That's not word of faith. What I believe happens when we begin to speak things that are positive, we create a new, in our own mind, a new system of thought and wavelengths that come off of it. And that's why we have to work out our own salvation. That's why it's a continuous process, because it would be foolish for us, for me to say, it would be foolish for Todd Barham to say, I don't have leukemia, when he has it. Now he doesn't anymore. And he can't, it'd be crazy for us to say, I'm healed of cancer. I'm healed of cancer. And then go around and tell everybody you're healed of cancer. This is not name it, claim it. That's not what we're talking about. It's about a mindset. It's about the way you think and the way you respond and everything that you see going on. I see what's going on in the financial system. And I can't out of my mouth speak, there's going to be plenty of money in the banks. I can't. That's crazy. I can't do that. But it can change the way I respond to what I know to be the truth. And that is, Mark says, yeah. Let me pull that back up. Because, Mark, I'm not walking all over you. Don't, I don't mean to. I just wanted to clarify something that Mark says, sin is the worst strain of virus. Yes. Unlike the coronavirus, it causes eternal death. Right. And so we have to keep focused on the fact that we live in a natural world. It's going to be impacted by natural things, but we are spirit beings. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're not going to die. I mean, you may leave this body, but you're not going to die. And so, again, it's a mental battle. That's why the battle, so we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's why we have to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. It's a mind game. It's always a mind game. So I just wanted to, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about today. So, hey, Mark, did you want to say anything in regards to that? I didn't mean to say something and not let you give you a chance to clarify or defend what you'd said.
No, Coach, I just, I think that we respond to fear.
Yes.
Our bodies respond to fear. Our minds respond to fear. What happens is it suppresses the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Our Holy Spirit is suppressed. Our strength, our energy is all sapped to fear. And then we think differently. Fear causes your mind to do what you just said. It causes Amen. It to do reactionary things to fleshly changes instead of us looking at it spiritually.
Man, walking so
you got it. You got it, Coach.
Yep. Hey, Coach.
And you will not live out those things of the flesh. Not that
hey, Coach.
Hang on. Not that those things of the flesh aren't there, but you don't have to walk in those things. You don't have to walk in that fear. Walk in the Spirit. All right? Yeah, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, and I've also heard a doctor say that When you're speaking in that negative and that fearful tone, like Mark is talking about, that it also sets your body up to actually to get sick. It actually makes the body acidic, so it's Amen. On a health standpoint as well.
Now, yep.
Coach.
And the Bible, hang on, Larry. The Bible also says that life and death is in the tongue, right? The power of life and death is in the tongue. Well, I'd like to do some more research on that. That's not a name it, claim it thing. There's something to it, boy. You whatever you believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth, right? Whatever you believe in your heart comes out of your mouth. So we have to watch what we say, because what we say exposes what's really in our heart. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, just a little bit of interjection of maybe some positive things about what is happening in the real situation with coronavirus. I talked to my grandson, who is already a year into his medical training with the Army as a lab technician kind of thing, super duper lab technician. I don't know what it is. It's 2 or 3 years of schooling he's got to go through. But he's at the Joint Service Base up in Washington, right outside of Seattle, in a huge hospital there. Probably the Army's second or third largest research hospital too, and he is working on coronavirus. And his, you know, he looks like the moonwalkers and all that when he goes to work every day because he's in total containment suit and all that. But he said that they're having a problem getting people tested in Washington because of the number of qualified people to run the test. The Army there at the medical training facility is taking its students in its various medical courses and making test teams that are going out into the community to do these drive-by testings. And I think that, you know, that they're trying to set up around the country. Now, Walmart's going to let them use their parking lots, but you got to have qualified people to collect the material and all that and everything. And so the Army is working on that to move out into the communities and get that going. And he said that they're also working on and seem to be coming close to a very inexpensive, very simple self-test that can be produced and made available for people to get, you know, so they don't have to go out and do testing in other places.
Let me ask something, Larry, or anybody out there. If in fact they're, I don't know about you, this is the way my mind operates. By the way, I don't want to stay on this all day, okay? I'm going to go someplace else. Why would I get tested for coronavirus if I don't have any symptoms? Don't you go to the doctor and get tested when you're sick?
Because if you knew you had it, then you could take precautions from giving it to other people that might develop symptoms and get hurt from it.
I get that, Larry. I understand that, Larry. I do understand that. But if evidently people can walk around with it and be asymptomatic, have no symptoms of it, then this thing must not be that deadly. Now, it might be deadly.
You need to get in that line, Coach. You need to get in that line. Everybody gets in that line. Make sure you give your DNA sample so they can corroborate that with your real ID and with all the other facial recognition data for you.
Oh, Joe, you're just a conspiracy theorist, Jack. Just
you're
kidding.
Right,
just,
buddy. You're right. Just, I'm a conspiracy factus.
So here's my point. I'm not going to get tested to see if I have it because I don't have any symptoms that I have. I don't want to start a fight. Hey, Jeff Klein's doing his thing tomorrow, I would assume. Jeff, what time's that? Up there at Kenyon, what time's that going on? By the way, is it raining here or what? My goodness, Jeff. Maybe he's not 11 even
o'clock.
In. 11 o'clock. Yeah. 11 o'clock at Middle Path. All right, 11 o'clock. Todd Barnes out of the hospital, home. Ooh. Good for Todd. Doing well. Cancer, leukemia free. Got that gallbladder out of him. Had a conversation with him. Doing all good. Don't forget Sunday, church here. I hate to use that term. We're going to be here 10 o'clock on Sunday. Now, folks, I'm promising you who are watching right now, invite somebody. I'm not going to go deep, dark, tinfoil hat. I won't do any of that stuff, okay? I'm not going to do any of that. This is not going to be a preachy, encouraging word. It's going to be what we do here every day. I'm going to come out with a scripture, and I'm going to ask questions about how does this apply to where we are? What do you see around? That's what this is. This is not going to be some softy, come here, be encouraged. Let me rub your back. You're brave. I'll turn off the TV before I'll start doing that kind of stuff. We're going to shoot straight from the hip. We're all grown here. And you know something? I just had this. Here's what I think. Can I tell you something right now? There are 50 people, 49 people in here in the chat right now. And there's more than that listening, more every day. We know that. Do you guys understand? Do you understand the spiritual training and boot camp most of you have been under for 4 years? Any idea? Now, I'm not making it sound like, whoa, me. Ooh, boy, coach is done. No. And the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And the wisdom and the depth of the discussions that we have had on this show, thousands of shows now, has so equipped you folks. You are more than ready. And when these things begin to break down and these things are beginning to happen in our local communities, you are the one to step up. Did you hear what I'm saying? You are the one to step up right where you are. You are the one who will be that beacon of hope, that beacon of light. You will be the one who will have the ability to see clearly what it is we need to do and to begin to put those things into place. You are the one that's done that. Now, folks, understand this. When you go invite other people to come and watch this on Sunday, some of them aren't going to do it because they can't take it. They can't take it. Their little spirit man is not there yet. But you're going to find some warriors, and you're going to find some champions, and you're going to find some people whose eyes are open, and they are ready. Amen. They are ready to help. They're ready, okay? So don't you be discouraged when people don't watch on Sunday. Don't you be discouraged. You just stand firm. You stand firm because you have been strategically placed by the Lord where you are for such a time as this. Do you get it?
Why?
Hey, listen. Why? If the internet comes down, folks, you can't come here and get encouragement every day. You can't do that. If the internet goes down, you have to be that. You have to be prepared to be that. And you're ready to do it. You're ready. Amen. To do it. You're saying something?
Just saying why. And the why is we don't have the fears that the people who've not been talked to this way. And another thing, Coach, is all of us haven't been right about everything.
That's right.
The thing I love about this show is we can air it out and we can correct one another, mm-hmm. right? And you Amen. Don't get to do that in church. And I just think it's a blessing. I look forward to it.
Hey, Amen.
I think church is always learned. I've learned as much from the people in the queue as I have you. Now, I mean, that's not a put down. That's
the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to work.
I mean, you've brought me up, Coach, but the other people have too. You know, the other brothers and sisters here on this program have really,
Amen.
Really brought me up. You know, so this is a collect. This is how the church really should operate. It's not a one man thing. See,
it's not.
Thank you for doing it, Coach.
Well, I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited for the days that are ahead of us. All right, now, folks. Roger was in. Roger, are you in here today, Roger? Because I had a conversation with Roger yesterday, and I just feel bad even saying it, but I had a good conversation. Roger's always in here, and Roger said to me yesterday, he can speak. He's a big boy. He can speak, but he said we've got to keep this show going. We've got to keep this show going. So, folks, I couldn't agree more. I think we got some rough times ahead of us here in the next few months, because as I said, no paychecks coming, right? We're going to start to feel that next week. We're going to start feeling some of that stuff now. And so the need for people to be able to connect here is going to become more and more critically important. And I would just ask some of you out there, why you still have a little bit of money, make an offering to us, because I can tell you, our offerings are down. Why are they down? Because everybody's afraid. So our offerings are down, and it's probably going to get worse. So while your no good dollars are still worth something, if you could help us out with a little bit, just so we can, it takes money to do this. It takes money to run this thing. And so that's all I'm going to say about it. But we need this lifeline. We need to be able to connect. I don't know what's going to happen. We have our own system set up. Jared's done a remarkable job of hosting all this stuff and doing everything and keeping us connected and all that. I don't know how this whole thing's going to play out, but we need to be prepared now to be able to keep this baby alive, up and running. Roger, did you have anything you wanted to add on that? I didn't mean to speak for you there, but you brought that up yesterday, and that really resonated with me. Anybody? Nope.
Hey, okay, cool. Coach.
Yeah.
Church is always supposed to be like this. I think church was changed from what it should have been to what it is now. And let me throw in prosperity gospel will never save you. The only gospel that's going to save you is the true gospel. So come here Sunday, people.
That's right. Bring others with you, because it'll be like this. It will be practical, applicable gospel. It ain't going to be. Are you sitting down? Huh? Are you sitting down? Hey, Jared. It isn't going to be this. Where is it, Jared? What am I looking for? I gave Jared so much stuff to throw up there. Let's do the online chapel service, Jared. It's about halfway down.
Hey, Coach, this is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
Our church is down from our main hospital. It's about a block down from it. So we had our pastor said, let's go outside and spread the word. So we were outside. We had about 100 people outside sitting down and doing and on a megaphone for all the naysayers.
Amen. Amen. See, you know what else I saw, Joseph? I saw, you know me, I'm sorry. I don't mean it to be a critical eye, but I evaluate the game film, man. And I began to see now churches providing free meals for people. Are you guys seeing that? Churches, free meal. Come by, pick up your meal. Folks, we need to support the restaurants. We don't need churches giving out free meals. See, churches just don't know what to do, do they? So they think, well, let's feed the community. No. No, tell the people in your community to go to the local guy who's got a restaurant who's trying to stay in business. So listen, I got to chuckle out of this, and this is probably going to make somebody mad, and I really don't care. I really don't care. But I got this yesterday, and this is, if there was a, I'm looking at my screen. I know I watched the show yesterday. It's distracting when I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at two different screens here sometimes when I'm looking away from you, so I apologize for that. Jared, why what the heck? Maybe is that it? There's what I'm looking for. Okay, folks, I want you to show you. Oh, Coach, do I have to do it, Lord? Yeah, I do. I have to do it. I want you to watch. Here's what, in my opinion, my humble opinion, here's the problem with the church, okay? Why can't I get that? There it is. Now, please don't think I'm making fun of anybody, okay? I'm not. But I want you to watch the beginning of this. And let me know if this is the message that we need right now. Oh, don't have to say that, Lord. I'm sorry. This is why we're so sissified. Go ahead, Jared.
Hi. Welcome to FCA's first ever online chapel. Isn't this cool? We're going to get together like this every Thursday until we're back in regular school. Before I get started, I want to make sure you and your family received an email yesterday with the online family Bible class. It's something that we would like for you to do as a family instead of our normal Bible workbooks. So you should be getting one of those out every day on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Now this week you had one for each day. Next week you'll have one for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So Thursday, we'll do this again with chapel. And then on Tuesday, that's kind of like a catch-up day for you. If you missed a lesson or did only part of a lesson and need to finish it, you can use Tuesday for that. So I hope you'll enjoy those. And I would like to hear from you if that's going well, how it's working for your family. I had a lot of fun creating them, and I hope that you will enjoy it. Well, let's try to make this.
It goes on for about 15 minutes. And see, in my opinion, this is not addressing the concerns of the people. It's not addressing it. And it's like we live in a bubble. We don't want to act like this stuff is going on around us. The situation is so bad that children are not in school, and we're acting like the church has just discovered the internet. Like the kids don't know. Oh, I can come here and I can watch. Oh, isn't this fun? It just really struck me the wrong way. Really struck.
Is that a parody, Coach, or is that a real gig?
No, that is not a parody, brother. Listen, be nice. That is not a parody. And I would bet you that by the thousands, these kind of messages are going out to churches. I'd be my guess. Because that's what Christians do. That's what Christians do. That's how Christians act, isn't it? Isn't that how we act? And isn't that exactly why the lost world doesn't want to come? The lost world's thinking, are you kidding me, dude? I don't even have a job. They're doing martial law. And you're doing this? I'm sorry.
That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd you just showed us who's supposed to have a hook, who's supposed to be out saving souls and teaching his congregation how to not be fearful. I'm like these guys. Is that a parody?
It's not a parody, brother. It is not a parody. Hey, hang on a minute, just real quick. Hey, Jared, pull up, get ready. All the idols have fallen. Get that Facebook thing ready. Yes, go ahead, Jeff.
That guy is what replaced the John Freshwaters of FCA.
That's why we replaced Coach Dave at FCA, to be honest with you, right? I was too hot for him. I was too manly for him, right? Too manly.
Hey, you remember, we were all in there. Freshwater used to let us in there and speak.
Yep.
Hey, Coach?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick comment. The music on there was very charming.
Well, the whole thing. Listen, I'm not – I don't want to get into poking fun. I'm just saying that's not the hard message we need. And you would hope that if you continue to watch that thing over 15 minutes that it would get harder and tougher. It doesn't. We like to – see, I can't believe – I turn on – go to Facebook. Everybody now who's a minister is now on Facebook. Jared, I didn't mean that to you. I'm sorry, Jared. I'm talking to people. And you know what we find? I find these guys who are now giving messages on Facebook, they don't have any idea what to tell people other than Jesus is with you. Jesus is beside you, brother. He said he would never leave you and he would never forsake you, brother. Stay encouraged. Don't let your heart be troubled. Come on.
And coach, they don't even know
that ain't all. What to say. They don't even know what to say in the times in which we live. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, that ain't all they're saying. They say, don't forget to hit that donate button down at the bottom.
They are saying that, brother. So what we're seeing right now is a great divide in the church, a great division in the church. And I'm going to tell you, friendship evangelism and Jesus loves you gospel ain't going to cut it today because we are at war. We're at war. And the church has no concept of that other than to run into the church on Sunday and pray. And oh, Jesus said this. I was watching a video yesterday of a church service, and they're all in there doing praise and worship. And I'm sorry, I got to say it, doing praise and worship with the service. You know, oh, you can tell that they're just feeling so good. Oh, they're worshiping the Lord. See, they're worshiping the Lord because they feel good. They feel good, right? They feel good. And isn't it amazing? These same people who are worshiping the Lord. Then Jesus says, you please me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You're saying stuff. You're acting like you're worshiping me, but you're not really doing it. You're not really worshiping me because if you really worship me, you'd obey me. You'd be out. So Rodney Howard Brown, this came to me from Alan Zeifer. Alan sent it to me yesterday. Let me go on record. I like Rodney Howard Brown. I like him. I know him. If I email him, if I text him, I could text him right now. He would respond to me. I know this guy. Now, Rodney Howard Brown, as we all know, was part of the whole, what do they call that? The charismania stuff, name it, claim it, word of faith. He's part of that. He's part of all that. But he's also boldly on the front lines about what's going on in the government. And how we need to stand up and push back and fight back and all that kind of stuff. And I want you to listen to this. It's about a 3-minute clip to what Rodney Howard Brown said. This is powerful. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
But this past week, something happened that I would say is unprecedented in America. And it's actually happening around the world. Every god fell. Every god of America fell down. Think about it. Even the god of some of these big mega churches fell. They're not even there today. They're empty. I'm sorry for coming public with this, but I'm just going to say it just like it is. If a pastor does not have the testicles,
come on.
members be upset because I said testicles.
Preach on.
We're not in the ministry because of popular opinion. We're not here for fair weather. A shepherd does not run and go sit somewhere in his house.
Come on.
What kind of a shepherd sits in his house?
Think about that.
Amen.
Come on. So, the NFL fell. The NBA fell. The NHL fell.
Come on.
The NCAA fell. The MLB fell. The PGA fell. All of the alphabet sports fell.
America's Dagon fell on their face.
Hollywood, fallen. Movies, fallen. TV shows, canceled. Broadway, canceled. Done. Cooked. Cooked.
That's it, isn't it? Huh? A lot of idols are falling. Folks, listen to me. We should in some ways be rejoicing. How the mighty have fallen, baby. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. They have. And how about that? A shepherd doesn't sit in his house. A shepherd doesn't cancel services. A shepherd doesn't shut down and go to Facebook Live. Oh, boy.
When do the sheep need the shepherd, Coach? When do the sheep need the shepherd?
They need them right now. They need them right now. But Mark, we're seeing false shepherds. See? Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Good time for Jared, John 10. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is so thick on me right now. Oh, I just got to do this. I've done this before. I want you to understand the most misquoted scripture in the Bible, and that says a lot. Jared, go to verse 10, because I'm going to quote it first. There it is. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief does. The thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the church has told us that is the devil. Okay, let's go back to number one, Jared, because I'm going to do a little bit of sentence diagramming. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Hey, Jared, verse 1 identifies verse 10. Thief. Who's the thief, Jared? Go to verse 10. Go to verse 10 real quickly. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Verse 1 tells us who the thief is. Let's go back. Despite what your pastor's told you, the thief is someone who came in other than through the door. But he that entereth it in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, the porter, the Holy Spirit, opens up the door, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth out his own sheep by name and leads them out. Who's he talking about? He's talking about a thief and somebody who's not the thief, but is a real shepherd. We have a thief and a real shepherd. What we see right here, right? And verse 4, and when he put forth his own sheep, when the real shepherd puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the strangers, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So we have churches, full of people who don't know the shepherd's voice. The Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd. Stay with me. And this parable spoke Jesus to them, but they didn't get it. He identified the thief right away, and he says, that's some guy who comes into the sheepfold who's not really called to be in there. He identified him, then he identified the real shepherd. He said, there's a difference in these two. Be careful. Be careful, he says. He says, okay, they don't get it. He said, let me switch gears. Verse six, Jerome. Verse seven. He said, let me come from a different angle. He said, you guys aren't following me here. Let me try this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the door. I'm the door. Okay. You have to come into the sheepfold through me. If you don't come into the sheepfold through me, eight, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What is, hey, Jared, what have they identified again for you there right there? What's verse 10 say? The thief cometh. Who's the thief? Come on, this is simple. Who's the thief? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And then he says, I'm the door. I'm the porter. I'm the porter, Jesus says. If any man comes in through that door, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. But I'm going to tell you something. He says, the thief, he's come a different way. And he, who's the thief? Who's the thief? Well, he's going to show us. Stay there. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Watch, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Watch, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the devil coming. Sees the wolf coming. The wolf's the devil. The wolf isn't, the devil isn't the thief. The hireling pastor's the thief. The devil's the wolf. The thief sees the wolf.
Amen.
The thief sees the wolf.
Yes.
Look, read it. Don't read what some pastor told you. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose the sheep are not, the people sitting in many of the churches are sheep to a shepherd who is a thief. They see the wolf coming and they leave the sheep. Who does? The hireling. Hireling. He's not the shepherd. He sees the wolf coming, verse 12. And he leaves the sheep. And he goes and does a Facebook video. And what happens? Well, the wolf catches him. Catches who? Those sheep that aren't his own. This is life-changing, folks. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And they know me. And as the Father knoweth me, so even so know I the Father. And Jesus says, I lay down my life for my sheep. And he says, and other sheep, I got others too, he says. And they're not even in the fold yet. Do you see that? Do you see that? I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's why I'm going to go lay down my life. Because therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life. I'm going to take it up again. He says, no man take it from me, but I lay it down. Have you done that? He says, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. And then they made him mad. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, don't listen to Coach Dave. He has a devil and he's mad. Why are you guys listening to him? That's what all those hirelings are telling you. Right there it is. The thief is the phony pastor. Somebody say amen. Know one of them? Anybody know one of them?
Amen.
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 That's right. It can't be any more clear than what you just read. It cannot be any more clear than that. And what do the phony pastors tell us? They tell us the devil's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And that is not what it says.
Hey, Coach, this Sunday, we're going to be one of the only churches open in Pasco County. We're going to be one of the only ones. We're right near Tampa. We're going to be one of the only churches open on Sunday morning. I told my pastor, I said, they come in. We had a men's meeting last night. I said, they come in here and tell us to shut the door. What we're going to do, we're gonna post the First Amendment on all of our doors, all of our entry doors. We're posting it. So when they come, I'm going to show them right there, hey, you need to go back and read the Constitution, boys.
Yeah,
but I ain't going nowhere.
Alan, they've told us that good Christians follow the law. Good Christians do that, Alan. So you guys,
well, Coach, it's not a law. It's not a law. It's not the law of the land, and I'm not abiding by that crap. They're going to have to tote my 270-pound behind out because I'm not, and I'll go ahead and let them have to carry me because I'm not, hey, it ain't going easy.
Okay, so Jared, pull up John Rappaport. Folks, I don't think John Rappaport's a Christian, okay? I have no evidence that he's a Christian. He might be. I don't have any. I saw this blog today, and I about went crazy. I could not believe what I was reading. John Rappaport, if Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, why can't worshipers throw out the sinners for the disease control? He asks. I believe not a Christian. I don't know. All right? So he makes this in two parts. Stay with me here. Are they really going to shut down all the churches in the world? Too many people in one place? No more Sunday services? I don't think so. Don't write me and tell me about the churches that have already shut down. I'm talking about the millions of others that are still open. What are these churches? Are there places where people can wake up their spirit? And what does that spirit say? Huddle in the dark? Wait for the virus to pass? Give in? That's not what I hear. I hear that in some countries, there's places where the state does not tread, where the worshipers can even speak their minds. I've never been shown scripture where God says churches have to protect their government-granted 501c nonprofit status and therefore have to cower in fear. John Rappaport, I don't think he's a Christian. He might be. Church is where people can mount a pushback against the lockdowns and economic destruction. At the church can huddle together and figure a way to fight back. Church is where people can stand up and say they're okay and healthy and they're not falling for the illusion. This is where people can tear away the false curtain. If one person stands up in church and says the epidemic is hyped up and is a cover story that allows the government to wreck the economy, another person might stand up and say the same thing. Isn't this a tradition called testifying? Aren't courage and righteousness supposed to have a place in the churches? What happened if 50 people stood up or 100? What if this happens in many churches? What if the energy is a fireball, even out in the countryside, away from the cities? I understand people have things called cell phones. What prevents them from recording all this testifying and sending it all over the world? We're healthy. We're okay. We're not going to die. We don't worship the virus. We're not here to fall on our knees and worship the virus. The virus isn't God. If Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, why can't worshipers throw out the sinners for disease control? So he says, let me give you the modern translation. People of Jerusalem, run through your streets. Look around, see for yourself, search the marketplaces. Can you find one person who does what is right and tries to be faithful to God? If you can, the Lord will forgive Jerusalem. So, is there one honest politician anywhere who will go into a church on a Sunday and stamp and say, I don't worship the virus. We're all right. We're not sick. We're not going to get sick. This is a lie, an attack against us. But don't hold your breath waiting. Don't wait at all. People who go to church can take the bull by the horns themselves and testify. Real church, as opposed to the fake ones, were never meant to be polite places. Real churches were never meant to be polite places. Well, I'm told early on in every religion, the original believers struggled against overwhelming odds. Their faith sustained them. Yes? Also, if I understand correctly, God isn't telling people to wait for him to take action. Is waiting, is that a religion? Is there a Bible I don't know about that lists all the permitted excuses for waiting? Testify, brothers, testify. Then he goes to part two. Does God want a global lockdown for 18 months? Churches are the last bastion of separation from the state in the society. Folks, read that again. Churches are the last bastion of separation from the state. When there's a war, there's dissent. In this war, where are the dissenters? Could two-gun Trump, accompanied by a live streaming video crew, do a blazing firebrand tour of 100 churches across the U.S. and tell worshipers the epidemic is being crazily hyped in order to wage war against the people through economic attacks. This is the most fake news of all fake news. The CDC is filled with liars. You bet your ass he could. Will he? No. The pushback's up to the churchgoers themselves. The latest Time magazine says the UK government ramped up its response to the virus, asking citizens to cut all unnecessary contact with other people. After a British research team warned its earlier strategy would lead to hundreds of thousands of deaths. But those researchers also gave a troubling warning for countries around the world implementing lockdown measures in order to be effective. They would need to last 12 to 18 months. 12 to 18 months would blow any national economy apart. Public official who declares or assists in the declaring of a lockdown should have to haul himself downtown and live among the people he just torpedoed. The people who lost their jobs and businesses, put these political criminals on minimum welfare and see how they like it. That's called a deterrent. What, Mr. Mayor? You want a job in this neighborhood, which is changing radically by the hour? It looks like we have three immediate openings for you, Mr. Mayor. Slim, none, and zero. What's your preference? For the last 60 years, I've been hearing about churches where they rattle the timbers and shake the windows every Sunday. Energy in the spirit let loose. Churches are the last bastion of separation from state and the society, and that's where people are supposed to go to find their ultimate. What are they supposed to do in an economic war that's been leveled against them? Stay silent? Is that what God is looking for? 18 months of silence? I Googled, God wants 18 months of lockdown. And the first thing that came up was, as Italy remains on lockdown until at least April 3rd, priests across the overwhelmingly Catholic country are being forced to look for alternative ways to minister to their flocks. Even the public mass, the most solemn rite in the church's liturgy, has been banned, along with other public gatherings. Instead, many priests are turning to their virtual world to bring people closer to God. A proliferation of prayer chains are being organized on WhatsApp or on websites such as the Corona Antivirus for 24-hour rosary recitation. In addition, many priests are now streaming masses on YouTube. Channels are on Facebook. One priest of a small town in Brazana, one of the areas most affected by the virus, even asked his worshipers to email him selfies or other pictures of themselves so that he could print them out, stick them on the pews, and not feel alone in his church while he conducted mass. He got hundreds of images and ran out of toner for his computer. After reading that, I provisionally decided the Vatican has no clue what God wants. I could have looked for biblical references to selfies, but I held myself back. That's not the kind of church I'm talking about. That's a complicit corporation. I'm talking about churches where people stand up and testify. Because in a staggering economic crisis like the one we're now facing, the Spirit moves them, and so they move. And if the church is too polite a place, they sanctify it by their action.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, Jeff. Just a second.
Yeah.
Coach, remember this. Scripture tells us this, that we are to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. And let me ask you something. Is the church assembling or isolating? Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll share this real quick. The other day, because Knox Revive Ohio, there's a little group they're trying to revive Ohio with. I get emails from them each week from Marcy Reinhardt at WNZR. Updates, and it's always fluff. I just read them to look at the stupidity. So the one came yesterday, and it said it had all the cancellations of the church. I mean, it's a mile long. So I texted her. She had her email in there, so I just clicked it and sent her back a message. The title of the email was called Don't Live in Fear. I knew that would catch her attention. Well, she emailed me back right away and said, when in there, I put under the title, I put New Beginnings Ministry is having church this Sunday in Warsaw, Ohio. So here's her email back. Thanks for the message, Jeff. We are only announcing and sharing church cancellations. For example, moving services online. We do not want there to be confusion. Thanks for your understanding.
Amen. There we are again. Huh? There we are again. Yep. Yep.
It's
a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for people to connect with some truth, isn't it? Got them out of the stodgy old churches. Huh? Got them out to it. Let's connect them here. Let's connect them. Go ahead.
Just as somebody who works on the internet and makes his money through computer screens, I highly recommend people be cautious around the words virtual anything with church. I mean, I'm not, what you're doing is good, right? But it's just, that does not replace dealing with people. That does not replace being on the streets like, as you would. It does not replace. It's like a supplement. So I'm just, it makes me sad anyway that we're turning to the virtual world as the solution.
Jared, let me say this. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But over the last 2 weeks, as this thing's been unfolding, the last person I thought of calling was my pastor. I'll just be honest with you. What's he going to tell? I need him to pray with me? You mean I'm not grown up enough that I can't pray and take authority on my own? I got to call my pastor to do it? You mean to tell me that we are not independently, spiritually strong enough to, on our own, not have to tune into some sermon on the internet? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? That's how weak the church has become. That you can on Sunday morning gather together and get your family around and on your own dig something out of the scripture. You can't do that. See, that thought is foreign to the average Christian. Foreign to it. We have to have some guy tell us what God's saying. We have to have some pastor stand up there and tell us what God's saying. And why have our pastors made people so dependent on them?
Amen, Coach. You're Amen. Right on Amen. Target.
It's for job security. That's why.
Amen. Hey, Coach, remember when we talked about speaking? Sorry, Jeff, just a sec. Remember when we talked about speaking? Everyone's hiding behind their screens.
Yes, sir.
Everyone's behind their screens. They won't go out in the street and talk because they want to text people. They want to Facebook them. They want to. So now the one place we can go face people and talk about spiritual things, look a man eye to eye, is closed. They're jumping into this virtual communication that Jared said is not good. Be cautious of that. I agree. And it's desensitizing us to the idea to be isolated.
That's
to
right.
not share the gospel, to not assemble. Right.
Even more as we see that day approaching. Forsake not the assembling. Does anybody see that day approaching?
Well, Dave.
Yeah, Chad.
Okay, sorry. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, April 17th and 19th, we're still going to have our Texas Brigade Assembly. You know, and people said that not one person has emailed me back and said they're not going to come because they're scared to get the virus. Mm. They said, we will come unless we're in lockdown.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. So, see, people, I totally agree with, I mean, my thing too, I'm not, you know, with all respect to the virus and everything, look, it could be bad. It could be everything they say it is. But the people, their reaction to that is much worse. That's the most immediate threat is the people around you. The reaction to the threat of that virus. That's our biggest problem right now.
Well, again, the consequences of hiding from the virus, folks, that's what's devastating our country, not the virus. Hey, folks, listen. If the virus is deadly and it's going to kill a million people, well, the economy is going to crash anyway. It's going to crash anyway. Why are we crashing the economy before this thing's here? I don't know. There is, folks, so much disinformation. So much disinformation.
Hey, Coach.
The direction of the Holy Spirit now more than ever. Yes, sir.
But let me just throw this little tidbit in there for that. When we're talking about, well, they're going to come and get us, or they're going to be on lockdown. Well, we already proved that the people will subject themselves to that at the Boston bombing.
Right. Well, Jack, we know this right now. I'm hearing, folks, non-Christians talking about lockdown. I'm hearing it from non-Christians, right? They know that there's a good chance where I live that it's going to be, what did I hear? Like a level one snow emergency. No snow, but people know what that means. That means you don't go anywhere. We are expecting, the lost people are expecting that type of order from our government this weekend. They're expecting it. And here we are, Christians, and we understand the big picture, and we're not even allowed to get together and get organized. It is despicable. Robert, are you ready? March 20th here? Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Yeah, I'm got it.
Bring him in here. Bring him in here on Sunday. Bring him in here on Sunday. We're going to give him some truth like he ain't never heard it. Get him in here. We got to get him in here. March 20th, Robert.
March 20th.
I thought tomorrow was the first day of spring. It was yesterday. March 21st has always been the first day of spring. How did it become March 19th?
Leap year.
Leap year? Is that it? Okay. All right. That would help. That would help. Go ahead, Robert. Get out of the boat.
Yeah, get out of the boat. It says, set your sail to the spirit or get shipwrecked by the devil. Get out of the boat. Jesus says, get out of the boat. Satan says, stay on the pleasure boat.
Shelter in place. Shelter in place. That's what Satan says.
That's right. In perilous times, the fearful jump off the boat to tread water toward a lifeboat. The faithful jump off the boat to walk on the water with eyes fixed on him toward their lifesaver. The fearful get their eyes off the Lord and get all wet. The fearless keep their eyes on Jesus and get wild.
Amen.
As the Apostle Paul says, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. The fearful fail to enter God's offered promised land because they see themselves as grasshoppers overcome by strong enemies. The fearless enter the promised land because they're God's giant killers.
There you go, Randy. That's us.
Yeah. The fearful say, it is hell with my soul. The faithful says, it is well with my soul. The time is now to become an overcomer. The time is now to put the devil, the roaring lion, the undertaker in his place under our feet. And by taking every thought captive and destroying every speculation and lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Psalm 91:13. That's where we ought to be, out in the streets. Gather, assemble, obey God, not men.
Folks, listen to this. This is so critically important. Scripture says that the devil, like a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. It doesn't say the devil is a roaring lion. It says the devil, just like a roaring lion. It's making a comparison. It is a simile. It is saying the devil is destructive just like a roaring lion. It doesn't say the devil is a roaring lion. We are the lion. We are the lion of the tribe of Judah. We are. We are. He's Amen. Not a lion. He's acting like one. And we're letting him get away with it. You understand the difference here? Folks, we are on the verge. My goodness, I have got such great anticipation in my heart. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. I don't want to hide inside my house. I can't wait for the pushback that I believe the people of God are getting ready to make. Hey, guys, even the lost world knows that the government being their protector is not a good thing. Our local gun store, you can't even hardly get in. The people are buying ammo. Why? They don't trust the government. Hey, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Looking forward to seeing a lot of you on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Bring a friend with you, plug some other people in, and let's do a truth inspection. God bless you. See you Sunday morning.